Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the Extra Hour. Joining me is Pat and John. If you missed the first hour, you need to catch it. And also, don't forget, you can catch us on at VFNTV.com on the app. You can search in your app store for V as in Victor, VFNTV, or you can, how else? I mean, so many different ways. We have podcast,
Torch.
The Torch is so cool because you can go and sign up. Go to, you can text, what's the number?
22828.
22828. Text VFNTV, that's V Victor, VFNTV to
22828.
And in a few moments, you'll be receiving the Torch every single week. And so if you miss something on the radio, if you want to hear it again, or you think that's great, you go, man, I wish I could hear that again. Guess what? It will be sitting in your email on that Friday. So when you wake up Saturday morning, you're there Friday night, you're going to be able to go back and listen and share with other people, you know, what you experienced. And you can participate in the great expectation of God by sharing the good news, by sharing God's perspective. You know, bring, you know, by sharing what we were attempting to do is give a light perspective of a God perspective, a biblical perspective, if you would, of what's happening in our life, a reasonable conversation. And I got to tell you, you know, when I was in Destin and Don and I were spending time there celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary in Sugar. It was so, the sand was like sugar out there, that I got a chance, you know, obviously listening to VFN radio, and VFN radio is so encouraging. I mean, think about it. Whatever comes into your eyes, whatever comes into your ears makes you up. It's you know, faith comes by hearing. And if you want to stir your faith and hear reality at the same time, hear a biblical perspective so it doesn't terrify you, but it will give you a biblical perspective and go, you know, hey, that's right. You know, we just talked about in the first hour, the biblical perspective of our soldiers that are putting such a sacrifice out there is King David. And when you talk to your legislator, you can say, wait a minute, this is a principle that's been around. This is a Judeo-Christian country. This is what we should do. We should honor our soldiers. And you can go back and you can listen to it. We'll see. It gives you a biblical perspective when they start taking it. We're going to defund the VA, or we have a million vets that can't get into the system. It'll take us a couple, you know, then you can get a biblical perspective of the whole thing. So you hear the news, you know, that this is going on, but then you go, wait a minute, it's godly for me to stand up. Well, it's a godly thing for me to stand up for these soldiers. And that's what's called a biblical perspective. And over again, we're trying to do that. Okay, you have folks that are refusing to get out of bed and go to work. You have people that are complaining about their life being so miserable. Well, we have a biblical perspective of that we just shared, that you're going to have to have integrity, that got life, true peace is being able to press through and meet the demands of reality, which will require your flesh to be unhappy, but God will reward you for that, and you can have peace no matter where you are. You see, so we're able to deal with a reality that, hey, as long as your flesh is comfortable, you're going to be in bondage. But as long as your spiritual is comfortable, you're going to be free no matter where your flesh is. And so that's your body is what I'm talking about. And so I just want to encourage you that you need that kind of balance. You don't bury your head in the sand of denial and say, I don't want to know what's going on because it's too big. God's people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. You got to be able to look at both. You got to be able to look at what is going on. Then you got to hear what God says, God's word says about it. And that's called a biblical perspective. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know.
All right.
And you can get that on VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com or search for it in your app store by searching for V as in Victor, VFN TV, or just go to VFNTV.com and get your app there. Well, man, the glory of God, the glory of God. You know, if you missed it, and we'll be talking more about it, but when Jesus was at a wedding, he was at a wedding, and his mother looked to him, his mother who, you understand, she was the one that met the angel in the moment that she met him. almost went movie on you. She went, wherever she met him. Yeah, I was like, you see so many things.
And it came behind the bush?
Yeah,
and
behind the bush. The shrubbery. Shrubbery was burning. From her pondering it into her heart to raising this boy up to seeing God move through dreams and speak to her husband and see him born and see him worshiped and see the knowledge of God growing in his life and favor with men and God. And here all of a sudden they're at this wedding and he's basically just being a great son and obviously a godly son. And they're having wine and whatever, a partying because somebody got married. It's a big celebration. And sorry for all you guys out there with the false doctrine. That's what was going on. I don't know how you're going to explain that. But you know, with that, they ran out of wine.
Mm-hmm.
They ran out of it. And so, I mean, think about it. You're just like watching people dancing or whatever. And then your mother looks back at you. And so Mary looks back at Jesus and she says, "Hey, they've ran out of son." "Yes, mother. They've ran out of wine." And it's like, I mean, think about that.
All right.
I mean, obviously this is being orchestrated by God, but it's like, "Yes, mother, I'm not going to buy these people no wine here." That'd take a full year's salary, you know, whatever. You know, what would be our responses, right? Obviously not. I mean, his response was different. He just looks at it. He says, it depends what version of the Bible you're reading. There's some perversions of the Bible and there's versions of the Bible. And he's basically saying, like, you know, "Woman, what's this have to do with me?"
Right.
And then just goes on, because that's a prayer request, by the way. Mary prayed to Jesus. She asked, that's what petition is.
Mm-hmm.
You ask Jesus for something. And so it's a prayer request. It's a petition. And then she looks at people around Jesus and says, "Whatever you ask you, just go ahead and do it."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she knew her son, didn't she?
Oh, yeah.
You can imagine the things she's seen around the house, right?
Yeah.
It's like, quit walking on top of this water right? And get in this thing. You're going to have to be cleaned up. Quit walking on top of this water.
Mm.
I mean, things she's had to see. You think about it. Because she knew who he was. She knew who he was, the Son of God. And so immediately, I mean, just like Jesus is, when you learn about Jesus, and we're still learning about how awesome he is, and he's awesome, that when somebody requests something from him in faith and just expects it, he just kicks in. I mean, when he sees somebody like his mother just walk away, like, it's done. Just do what he says.
Mm-hmm.
That's faith.
Mm.
You know, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And as always, even like with the woman that he goes, you know, going to give the bread to the dogs, and she's right. Like, she's got faith. And he's like, "Well, wait a minute. I know that was the rule. But woman, you got some faith."
That's right.
You know what I mean?
You can't resist it.
All you need is to trust God, give your life to God through his son, Jesus Christ, and have faith, and you're going to see some pretty awesome things in your life.
Mm.
And anyway, so Jesus does what he does, and he begins to take these, was it 12 jars, or how many jars it was, probably last six maybe, but anyway, some jars, not even, it was just water jars, I'm not going to get too deep into that. And he told his disciples, "Fill those things with water." And you could hear them now thinking amongst themselves, because obviously he's not there with them, he's like, "We're going to be in so much trouble." He's going to be starting to pour water in these wine glasses.
All right,
right? Can mm-hmm. you imagine? This is the king. This is sort of like America feels now. It's a king. A king issues these edicts and takes you down and can take your head off. And you know, you gotta be real careful.
Be good.
You gotta be really careful. And the head of the whoever's the head of the banquet, I don't know if it's king or not. So, they come back and they fill up the basins with water. And he says, "Now begin to pour it out." And remember that faith, complete faith, and you can hear this on VFN TV. You also can hear it on the VFN Torch, but it's, some people have dead faith.
Hmm.
They have, you know, all kinds of faith in things and stuff, but it's complete faith that has corresponding action. So she's had the request to the right person, the right God, Jesus, and Jesus began to move on behalf of her faith. And then she had So she walked away, so it's a done deal. The people that were with Jesus did exactly what he said. And here they are putting water, so they have all this corresponding action going on. Everybody's just doing exactly a pleasing thing to God. This is what pleases the Lord. Just do it. And then he says, now begin to pour out the water. And they did it. They didn't start saying, well, you know, they're going to know. They're going to know. Don't you just, oh. Listen, is there some other place in life you can be right now? Right now we're moving by faith. We don't need your analysis of what's in this jar. We need your faith in God. It don't fit, and it's water, and they're going to know, and it's going to fit. It's like, I had so much faith before you opened your mouth, Peter. Anyway, so it's like Dr. Cho said, he went to bed with all kinds of faith, and he woke up and says, it was stolen from
it
me.
Was snatched, dude.
So many spouses have went to bed just on fire for God and have one conversation with their spouse or their family and walked out of there going, my God, we're going to die. We're going to die. I don't know what happened, you know. And he said, the enemy just stole it from me. And as they poured it out, as they poured the water out into the glasses, in the process of the movement of the action, and the, if this is not true, it's not going to be good. So it is true. Therefore, God says he's going to do what he says. It changes its structure. The water becomes wine in the movement, in the action, in the court, in doing something you couldn't do before, in the listening to the word of knowledge and doing it, in the believing God and requesting and making your petition known. Jesus, we're out of wine. They're out of wine here. Don't think about, well, it's not really Jesus' place to be able to provide this healing. Just offer your petitions. Even Jesus offered petitions to God. And in the process of the action, of the movement, of the flow, it was the flow. You need some flow in your life. You need some go in your life. You need some do in your life. It changed its content. It changed its makeup. It became what Mary requested. God answered her prayer through his son, Jesus Christ. The water was turned into wine. And get this. So when towards the end of the wedding, the head of the wedding starts drinking some of this wine, and he goes, this is the best wine I've ever tasted. Which, by the way, which really just blows even more doctrine out there.
Yeah, right.
Not only did he make wine, but he made the best wine. And he said, this is the best wine. Nobody waits till the end of the wedding, the party, and serves the best wine. Nobody does that. And he's saying, because obviously their taste buds must be shot or something by then. They've had all the food or whatever, and just give them whatever. But let me tell you something. Two things. One is, he said, the word of God says, this was his first revealing of the glory of God, the glory of Jesus. The glory of his glory was revealed. So in the context of that, that prayer request, that petition of his mother, the movement of his disciples, the response of God, Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us, Jesus, the actions of the disciple, the pouring and the transference and the makeup, the change, the miracle, the answer to your prayer is the glory of God. And for some reason, religion has stole that, and all of a sudden you have, in one corner over here, you have the answered prayer. In the other corner over here, you have the glory of God. And so you have people in the answered prayer corner of the ring going, I wish I had the glory of God. I mean, they talk about the glory and the glory and the glory while they're drinking the best wine in the context of that proverbial. They got a house, they got a car, they got a job, they got healed, they got delivered. They're alive. You know, they live past Second Street, you know, things like that. But the enemy, religion, has divided them from the revelation that was, there is no separate corners. There's a thicker presence of the glory of God. But they didn't even talk about that aspect of him. It was her petition, her prayer request. That was the glory of God being manifest. That wasn't your ability to turn water to wine. That wasn't your ability to cause that lump to be removed from your breast. That wasn't your ability to be able to get past that payment you couldn't make on your house or couldn't make on your car or even have a car or whatever it is. That's the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Every success, every good gift comes from our Father above. It's the glory of God. This is why, by the way, this is why when everything wraps up and God gives Jesus the scroll with the seven seals, the title deed to earth, read about it in Revelation. They say that he is worthy to receive all the glory, all the praise and all the honor. Why? Because it was him doing all this. Now, whether you acknowledged him, it was his glory, or you took his glory, or you wrote a book about how you did it, you know, that's going to be dealt with a throne of judgment. But understand, this is how every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. By the way, all that water to wine situations and miracles and provisions and food and battles that we've won and safety and everything, that was all you, Jesus.
Right.
And so we're going to begin to share manifestations of the glory of God on VFN Radio so you can hear them. We're going to call it's glory stories, really. Stories of the manifestation of the glory of God. And as a matter of fact, you got to listen right here. I got to hear, just remember, Mary, and understand this. Understand this. That when you ask God for something, he wants to give it to you. He wants to meet your need. When you ask within the context of his will, he wants to show himself to you. He wants you to reach out, though he's not far from you. He's designed everything around your life to see if you would reach out and touch him, though he's not far from you. He wants to show himself to you. Begin to step out. Begin to cry out to God and see the glory of God. Listen up.
They came to deliver the TVs, and we checked them out, and guys were very nice. And they asked us, hey, what are you guys doing here? And we began to share, you know, VFN Radio and VFN TV and just everything the Lord was doing. And we said, hey, listen, do you mind if we just pray for you guys? So they looked at each other and said, yeah, sure, go ahead. So what can God do for you? So one guy's like, I need prayer. I'm getting married. He stepped right in the middle. He said, pray for me. I'm getting married. So I said, come on in. You know, so he stood in there, and we laid hands and prayed for him. And we just felt the presence of God. He was like, looked at us like, thank you, thank you. So Vernon was Terrence and Norman. Norman comes in second, and he says, I have knee problems, and I have pain in my back. He steps in the middle of us, and we prayed for him. And I tell you, it's just a faith just so just welled up in the middle of the secret place. And we just felt the presence of God. But it stirred my faith more just to realize that, my goodness, all we had to do was ask. All we had to do was say, hey, can I pray for you? And both of them were receptive to prayer and receptive to see what God did. And Vernon was like, he just felt for touching his knees. And Pat was like, move around. Do something you couldn't do. Move around. And the guy's doing all this type of stuff in his secret place. And he's bending his knees. And they walked out. And it's just like that. It just takes that one encounter, that one touch with God. My goodness, it's all, you know, all she wrote.
This has just been a powerful week. God has just brought, you know, so many encounters, being able to just catch up with others. And actually, while at work, there's a lady that worked right next to me. Her name is Therese. And towards like the later day in the shift, her eyes just getting real irritated. Her eye was all red, like she couldn't see. And just was able to work very closely with her, and was just telling her what God has done and how God has healed people and touched just cancer and just full healing when we've come together and pray. And God just was just moving on her heart, and her faith was lifted. And I asked her if I could pray for her, laid hands on just on her face, and was praying for her. And God just healed her eye, like as we were talking, and as I was just sharing what God was doing, her eyes were opening up, and it was just like as we were talking about it. And also too, God was speaking to me about one of my old friends that I've known in the city for years, and being able to catch up with and just ask her specifically, like, hey, how's your life going? And is there any specific area that I can pray for you about? And we were just initially going to meet for just maybe half an hour, 45 minutes, and ends up, just like what you're saying, John, is that we ended up talking for about 4 hours. Same thing, talking about abiding, talking about discipleship, talking about what God is doing. And God reminded me in the middle of our conversation of just what he said to me in my abiding time to pray for her. And when I had asked specifically, I said, you know, is there anything that I can pray for you about in your life? And she just broke down and just started sharing what was going on and was able to just, you know, pray for her and just listen and just watch what God was doing. And it's just amazing how God is moving and responding.
Well, I wanted to share a glory story with you that happened this week. I met this nice lady. We began talking outside of her home, and we started sharing. And all of a sudden, she tells me that she just got back from touring in Germany with a gospel choir. So we started talking about the Lord. I didn't know she was a believer. An hour later, on her front doorstep, we're talking about God, the power of God. We talked about abiding. We talked about VFN radio. We talked about what God is doing. She says, you're not going to believe this. Somebody just sent me a book today. They sent me a book this week. And I started reading it today. She runs back in the house, gets the book, gets the card, shows me the phone, and she begins to tell me everything that I just finished just sharing with her. Really, the Lord just laid on my heart about abiding, and someone was telling you, you need to journal it down. You need to write down what God's saying to you. Mm. And it was just one of those encounters where you're like, okay, God, this was a divine appointment. It was so powerful. We wind up praying right outside. I mean, cars driving by, and we just prayed, and it was just pretty amazing. I mean, it just went on and on and on, but it's you never know who you're going to meet that day. You never know who you're going to run into, and it's almost like, you know, what God was putting in me and what God's been putting in you, other people need, and as soon as I just released it and shared it, she just received it 100%, and it was exactly what God was speaking to her at that very moment. Not only what God was speaking to her, but what somebody else mailed her a book and a card that said the very same thing. And Lord willing, she'll be here next week with us. So,
the guy who comes to clean the baptismal, he shows up and he's saying that he's having a heart. He feels like he's having a heart attack, but he wanted to stop and clean it anyway. And Mother and I came out and I talked to him. I said, "Man, you know, this, you're more important than this. You need to go to the hospital and get this thing checked out. Whatever it is, you know." I said, "Man, let's just pray for you right now."
Right.
I started praying for him, and he just breaks down, starts crying. I mean, he just breaks down in tears. Lloyd, his name is Lloyd. And he just breaks down, starts crying, and he's just like, after I get done praying, he's like, "Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for praying." I was like, "Man, do you need a ride? I will take you up there. Do you need a ride?" He's like, "No, I think I'll be okay. I think I'll be okay." So, well, I mean, just, you know, call us, let us know what happens. You know, so he was supposed to call and at least leave a message. I hadn't heard anything back yet, but it was just so powerful that it was just like the presence of God just hit him right there.
Praise God. Well, we thank you for his healing. Yeah. Thank you.
Wow, that was awesome. And I was able to talk to Lloyd again after that, and he tells me that...
Talk to Lloyd now, not the Lord.
Lloyd, yeah.
Okay, Lloyd, his name is Lloyd, okay.
Lloyd, yeah. And he says that he doesn't remember anything. After I prayed for him, after he left, he didn't remember anything, but remembers waking up at home on his couch. He doesn't remember even leaving here, and apparently he called his doctor on his way home, and he doesn't even remember doing that, and his doctor had told him to go to the emergency room that it sounded like he was having a heart attack.
Wow.
But he wakes up on his couch like 3 hours later, and he's completely healed. There's no problem.
Is that awesome? Glory of God.
Awesome.
That is so, so awesome. Well, listen. Join the dream. Get in the glory. Join the VFM Dream Center at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. If you're in the Gulf Coast region, you got to come and join the dream at the Vine Fellowship Gathering. Gathers on Sundays. Or if you're not in the Gulf Coast region and you're in the world and our audience is all over the world, join the dream as an e-member. Join online, and we have a live broadcast of the glory stories coming straight every Sunday on VFN Radio and soon on VFN TV. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Come join the dream. Get in the glory.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Floating on clouds. Everything is dreamy. If that's your picture of heaven, then listen to Randy Alcorn on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
Serving God for all eternity, seeing God and being with Him forever and doing what He's called us to do and made us to do, that's exciting. And Satan doesn't want us to be excited about heaven. And one of the main reasons, I think, is that you have a bunch of Christians going around who aren't excited about heaven. They think that it's maybe going to be dull and boring and all of that. Well, how motivated are they to share the gospel with their non-Christian neighbor?
There's no doubt we can learn a lot about eternity from the Bible and not so much from contemporary culture. Randy's painted a picture of heaven that should excite us. Learn more about heaven and having a relationship with God when you stop by focusonthefamily.com/faith.
But I just want to encourage you, if you have not yet found a body of believers, a gathering of ones that are hearing from the Lord and desiring to position ourselves before God for this day, for this season, let me tell you, if you happen to be in the Gulf Coast region, you need to begin to come and seek out Vine Fellowship Network, this dream center that's being developed, an apostolic center to be able to be one of the foundational parts of the many parts that are in America to be able to turn the nation around. But if you can't, if you're not close geographically, you need to begin to join us virtually and join with all the virtual members that are joining us and listening and staying in tune, because we can stay together. There's so many different ways to connect today through VFN TV, VFN Radio, and every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. on VFN Radio, a live broadcast from a prophetic word which is coming out that moment in time from the VFN Dream Center. You need to catch it, be a part of what's going on. There's hope, but you got to get under a message of hope. You got to understand your part. When I read about Dr. Carson's book in America the Beautiful, that the thing, the consistent theme throughout his book, which is really good, but you got to get it. I didn't read it for a long time because I'm thinking, okay, it's going to talk about it. Spacious skies, purple seas, and the purple mountains and majesty. And it had nothing to do with that. And but one consistent theme, other than, of course, God throughout the book, is sacrifice, personal sacrifice. And if you want to be a part, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, a part, a player in the kingdom, if you want to quit being a spectator, if you're ready to get involved and do be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, not an itching ear dictator demanding from others what you want to hear, but somebody who says, I want to hear from God and I want to be a doer of the word and blessing all that I do. Listen, Vine Fellowship Network, the VFN Dream Center is for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see. And something you couldn't record it, maybe you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We just heard about the glory stories. It's so exciting to hear about the glory of God. And if you missed it, you got to catch it. And stay tuned and begin yourself. Begin to believe God for the manifestation of His presence, His power in your life, and then begin to share it. Listen, God wants you to give Him glory. When you look at
John chapter 15, when Jesus is talking to us, he said, listen, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory. Yes, the answer prayer is cool, but the whole thing is, it's the one who answered it. He's going, I love you, and this is me, and I'm turning your water into wine. I'm the one doing this. And so this brings, it's supposed to bring, what's amazing to me is how God is so faithful to us, even when we're not faithful to him. Mm-hmm. And his glory is manifesting continually in our lives. And you see so many people not even acknowledge him.
Right.
And you look at, if you have not heard yet, you know, is America under God's judgment? One of the first phases of checking that out is when people fail to acknowledge God. Mm. And it's like, hey, if just a clue here. If we're the wealthiest country ever happened on the face of the earth, mm-hmm. if our poorest people are richer than 80% of the world's population, if we brought more people out of poverty and brought freedom to more people, if women's rights came out of this country to the point that they are right now, where women have never been treated better in the world's history other than in America.
That's right.
Mm.
And all these things that are happening, you can grow up in America and think it's always like that everywhere else. It's not like that everywhere else. And if they are anywhere near it, it's because America walked with God and began to God showed us the way and the things happened, and we didn't just get here overnight. And, but it's the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's the glory of God. And, it's so exciting because we want to begin to hear from you as well, our listeners, and sharing about you when God begins to move on your heart to be there for someone and, or to request of God, you know, something as simple as, you know, we need, we're out of this and we need some of this, and God just manifested.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now they're talking about the stimulus money's being cut off in America for the excess money that was poured into the SNAP program, which is, we still call it food stamp program. But I want to encourage you, don't panic. Ask God for provision. You have a family of five people. You're struggling. Your job might not be paying you enough. Be open to how God's going to provide for you. I don't think it's this way or that way. But now ask God, say, God, I'm thankful for a nation that was able to, for a period of time, to help us with this extra on top of the stuff we normally get, to be able to provide for our family. But I just pray right now, Lord, that you would begin to just bring us out of all this dependency and have provision in such a way that this was just a stopgap measure to be able to help us turn fully to you, and you bless the work of our hands. And now we have all the food we want to get. I mean, think about it. That's the manifestation of, I mean, you know, I thought I was kind of strange, but maybe I am. But I look at our plumbing, and I look at the sink, for example, and I turn on the faucet and I go, wow, dear God, water comes out when we turn the knobs.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen like that everywhere.
No.
It doesn't.
You're not strange. You're just grateful. Like, yeah. It's called appreciating.
Yeah, right.
Appreciating life, you know?
Yeah. It's like it just comes out. It's like, look, oh my goodness. And I would just think, dear God, I'm so grateful that water comes out of a faucet like this.
My goodness.
And then on top of it, I can even drink the water that comes out of the faucet and live.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been in New Orleans before, but all that sulfur comes out, you're thinking like, I know they say it's safe, but my nose is going, don't put it near your lips.
Mm-mm.
And give a shout out to the Jesus this morning.
That's right.
But it's just such a gift.
Mm.
It's such a gift. And then I think about you can go all the different plumbings and types of situation, but then you think about having a shelter over you where all these storms come and wind and weather and rain. And if God gives you a shelter, you know, an apartment, a modular home, something that you can be in, a foundational home, whatever it is, just whatever.
A room.
A room.
Yeah, it's just so cool because that means you can be inside when the elements are on the outside, because there's many people in the world that have to live in the elements. We're so blessed that we're more worried about our animals being in the elements when half the world probably is in these elements, and we should be concerned about them being in the elements, mm-hmm. not our animals. Mm-hmm. And then I think about, we have these devices that take air, uncomfortable, wet, hot, humid, dry, whatever you're at in America, and it's able to take the moisture out of the air in such a way that it creates a cooling mechanism and it blows cool air over your skin and in your home. We call it air conditioning. And it's so taken for granted. If you go back and look at the history of New York, and I was watching some history about how things were and how everybody had more relationships in the past. And one of the reasons why they did was because you and your neighbor slept outside on the same terrace. You went out on the fire escapes, and you know, you have like 10 stories, for example, and you have the fire escape for 10 different levels. So you're basically sleeping over and under your neighbors. So you're going like, Bob, how was your day? That was good. It's not just talking. I mean, you had to go out and catch air.
Mm. That's right. No central AC in 10-story building, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and what he was saying was that air conditioner was one of the things that really broke up a lot of
community
that we had, because it made our flesh comfortable.
Right.
Yeah. Close the doors and the windows.
Yeah. Dear Lord, I will talk to my neighbors. Please let us keep the air conditioning.
I don't know.
You imagine Pat? Right?
You kind of like your AC too then.
Who, me?
Yeah, you like AC, right?
I'm freezing right now. I got a long sleeve shirt on.
But Pat likes it cold.
He's getting older.
Yeah.
But it's just such a blessing. So when you think about it, you go pour you a drink of water out of a local government that checked that water probably 10 times that week to make sure that the content in there was not going to hurt you or your family.
Mm.
You brush your teeth with it, etc. You got cold air blowing over you. And then get this, it's going to be really surprising to you. But then you can walk over when the sun's going down and your day doesn't have to end at that moment. Probably should, but doesn't have to end at that moment. Because when it starts getting dark and you can't see how to get around in your nice, breezy, watered, air-conditioned covering, you can go flip a piece of plastic or metal or whatever you have over there, and it connects these two wires. It's done in such a way you don't have to see the wires. They so covered it up. But what's really happening is when you turn your little switch on for lights, two wires touch base and current, if you would, flows through those wires that somebody up the street from you is burning the coal that people want to get rid of to cause you to be able to walk around in your house, so you don't have to burn coal yourself and lamps yourself. They're burning it up the street to produce a generator that spins around that sends currency down those wires, so you can walk over the dark and flip a switch on, and guess what? You can have a light to see. This is new stuff, by the way. This is really new stuff. I was looking back. I was watching Downton Abbey. My daughter bought me a. I know you don't know. I'm talking to.
He's the, dating himself.
Yeah, yeah. Help us out.
This is new.
Prehistoric.
This is new.
Oh, this is new.
She bought me a card, I don't know, for iTunes, an iTunes card.
iTunes. Mm,
and okay. So I bought this series called Downton Abbey, and what I really wanted to watch it was so that I could see what it was like. And it carries you from, Downton Abbey is a city in Great Britain, and they have dukes, and it's a duke over the city, but it takes you from the 1800s up into 1901, 1902, so you're seeing electricity come in. It started without electricity, started without telephones, and it takes you into this technology. But they're living the life, what it was like as a duke back then to be over, because what they did was they put a duke over a city, and he was over Downton Abbey. He was over Downton, that's what it was called, Downton.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the world saw this, by the way, and they were intrigued as the same thing. You wanted to see what life was like. And these guys, this is what they said. These are the people of privilege. If we didn't allow them to serve us food, and put our clothes on. They didn't put their clothes on. They had people dress them.
Oh my gosh.
They had servers and this is where we, this is the lineage of this is why you probably have a lot of negative animosities towards Great Britain and the privileged of where that came from. And so they would get up in the morning people would run around and get their fire started in their fireplaces, get their breakfast ready. They would iron their newspapers because the paper had to be pressed. They'd put it down. They'd have all their tables served. They would stand there as dressers came and dress them in their clothes and would dust their things off and their shoulders. And then they would just start their day like that. And the women would just sit around on the parlor. But that's all they did, just sit around the parlor. And just be dressed pretty and talk with cups of tea.
So that's scary.
And you know, they would actually, in this particular production, they would bite at each other because they had nothing to do. They were intelligent women that needed. But then they had, I remember that the electricity came in and they were talking about it. They were like, they're talking about because they didn't have it in this huge fort castle. Downton Abbey, it's a huge, huge complex, had no electricity in it. And they were like, I don't trust that stuff. Well, I don't want it in the bedroom, at least. You know, I don't want, we'll just have it in this area. And they were like picking and choosing because that time the wires just kind of ran on the outside.
Oh, wow.
And it was pretty cool because you're seeing electricity come in. That was very recent. You're talking about 19 whatever.
Wow.
And then phones came out. Part of that was telegraphs and all. And you saw that happen. And then, so the phones came out. And so the head butler was practicing. He picked the phone up and he practiced Downton Abbey. And he put it back down again. He picked up Downton Abbey. And he was practicing picking up this phone because it didn't exist in the context of that. And even chairs would lean back like we have today. That one of the ladies sat in the chair and the chair went back. And they were showing all these inventions that happened in the context of this pretty great historical moment for us to really understand. That's what intrigued a lot of people is like, how did they live then? And then they got closer to how we're living today. And it's like, okay, turn it, it's nasty. I don't see it no more. But it's like, my goodness, you know, we're just so blessed. This is all recent stuff. Yeah. They say most patents, inventions happened since 1900, right?
I believe so. You know, VFN Radio, we just shared how some of the places around the world, what they're doing for light, they're putting water. Remember this? They're putting water in a 20-ounce Coca-Cola drink bottle, plastic bottle, Pepsi bottle.
Yeah.
They're putting a little bit of bleach in it, and they've made this metal contraption that they can stick the water bottle in or the Coke bottle in, and they place it on top of their roofs so that half of the bottle is exposed to the sunlight and the bottom part of the bottle is actually what's giving light into the house. It's as powerful as a 60-watt light bulb. It's amazing.
Reflective light.
I guess the sun does something with the
heating
water.
Up the bleach in the water, and it produces light.
Oh, so it actually produces?
Yes.
It actually produces.
As powerful as a 60-watt light bulb. You got to see this. We have a video for
it. Imagine how much light we can have if all the Coke that's drunk and the soda's drunk in America. We could light the world up.
Amazing.
We like the commercial.
Wasn't that amazing?
Right?
Yeah. It's actually a 2-liter bottle. It's big.
Oh, they use a 2-liter bottle too? Mm-hmm. They had a whole room filled with all of these.
Yeah.
This house.
How much was the bill every month for those?
It was free.
Isn't that awesome?
Isn't that nice?
Baby, I'm coming home with some liter bottles.
So when the power goes out, power goes out, go ahead and cut your hole.
There you go.
Yeah.
And drop in the 2-liter.
We're just so blessed, and what that's the glory of God. That God blessed us like that, and of course all the other many things, but. To understand that, to have a bed at night, that you don't have to worry about things, you know, crawling up under it or whatever. And the reason why they say your car is a 300 horsepower, 250 horsepower, this is the reason why. Because if you're going to get the same response from horses that you got from your 325 horsepower car, it would take 325 horses. Can you imagine feeding, raising, training, replacing, harnessing, and all that behind your carriage, which is your car, and then just saying, giddy up, you know, and then all of a sudden 325 horses pull you down the thing. That's where horsepower comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It's equivalent to that. And so it's like, if you have a car with 325 horsepower, that's a glory. That's God blessing you.
That's yeah, right.
Right.
That's God blessing you. And you're like, I got to put gas in here. Do you understand how much hay it would take to feed 325 horses? Do you imagine how much fertilizer you get for 325 horses? I mean, we're just a bless. We're just yeah, blessed. You know, and you think about some of this new technology and people say, I wouldn't use it. I wouldn't use it. Why they drive off in a car with 325 horsepower. Right. And it's like, right. And they use a blinker, which is a great idea because it lets us know you're going to turn. I mean, is that sin to use the blinker? It's like, it's how you use the technology and the inventions and things that, that God gives you. You know, what, even if it's created for evil, realize that that God can take it and make it in compliance to his will, and he mm-hmm, can use it. And so I just want to just give God thanks and for all the things that he's blessed me with and blessed us with, and acknowledge him in that. And being in a free country, if you study history and realize the kind of countries that exist today and how people who just share their viewpoint end up in jail. And they openly say, I'm a Christian, or they openly tell somebody about Jesus, and the person says, thank you, I just had a dream last night about him, and I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. That encounter puts them both in jail and brings great turmoil to the convert's life for the rest of his life and his family's life. And they have to begin to try to stay alive because they're going to try to harm his family as well. Do we really want to give up this blessing? Do we really want to not be grateful and acknowledge God in all of it? I just thank God for all the many blessings that he's bestowed upon us. And in turn, I want to live the rest of my life in gratitude to him and be poured out like a drink offering, taking nothing off the court.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now. You know, Steve, I was over the weekend, Father's Day weekend, in fact, you know, or should I say Sunday, I received this text of a video. No, I'm minding my own business. You know, I like just to mind my own business and look after my own dogs. But why? Why did I receive a text message from someone on this radio program, not me or you right now?
Oh, okay.
That would be Pat, but I'm not mentioning any names.
Say the names, okay.
But he sent me this video of his two dogs. Okay? Yeah. I gotta admit.
I love your dogs.
Hey, man, dogs are cool. Dogs are cool. You should get one. You should get one.
Yeah, okay.
He sends me this video, right, and these dogs, I gotta admit, Chris, it's actually kind of cute. Mm-hmm. They're going back and forth. Do we have that video? Do we? What were they doing? Talk to us here. I think he spent hours training them to do this.
They're playing with the ball.
They're playing with. They got this. How big is Holly? Holly is a
she
lad.
She is almost 80 pounds.
80 pounds? And how big is Samson?
I think maybe 8.
He may be 10 soaking wet.
Oxymoron here. Samson is a little. And Holly's huge.
Right.
But they're going back and forth. And
but you notice Holly's on her back. Yeah. She's being gentle.
Very gentle. And Samson is the more aggressive. But it's just so cute. They're just going back and forth playing with each other. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is so cute. How long do they do this?
Oh, this will go on for hours.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, they do this all day.
Really?
Oh yeah, until Holly gets tired of him, just like swats him like a bug. Get away from me.
That is so cute. It just this goes. I mean, this was, and he wanted me to watch the duration of this 30-minute video. I said,
"Fast." I only sent you about a minute of it.
It seemed like it was an eternity.
This one's about 3-minute version.
Okay.
I had to turn it off.
Oh my goodness. Well, we're gonna put this available. We know that Pat has a lot of time, but we're gonna put this available for you on the torch, so you can see. But Holly and Samson, they're playing and getting it on. But it's so cute when you see these two dogs are complete opposite, you know, size, and they're just playing so nicely. Is like, oh my goodness, some adults can learn from this video. Play nicely.
Right.
They're playing nicely. Oh my goodness. Oh my. Holly and the dogs.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is John and Pat. If you haven't, if you missed what we just talked about the late 1800s and 1900s and all the inventions that have taken place, watching a public television program called Downton Abbey really kind of helped us kind of give a quick me, not them, they,
mm-mm.
It's public television, it's history. But they did it such a way, it was pretty interesting. And we're just so blessed because they were showing all these inventions take place and all that. But speaking of blessing and losing blessing, what's happening in Detroit? I know that there, what are some of the stats that was going on? Because we were just playing yesterday, you know, we're trying to talk about how the Americans, as Americans, that we booed God, we booed Jerusalem and all that.
Right.
And but while we had to listen to that, we heard Vastai, the co-chair of a party, stand up and say,
Credentials Committee
say, you know, and he brought Detroit back from the brink of disaster.
Oh my goodness.
You remember that?
Yes.
It's like, yeah. I didn't even know what was going to be said. And
that was
said
a year
that.
Ago, but yeah. Last month, the city of Detroit filed bankruptcy.
The one that's been brought back from disaster.
The one that was brought back from disaster.
How does a city, well, who do you file it with?
I don't know. $18 billion.
With a B?
With a B. $18 billion in debt. There's other cities that are right behind them. But $18 billion in debt. 45,000 abandoned, burned down homes.
45,000.
45,000. A joblessness rate of 50%.
50%. I mean, the Great Depression had what, 15% maybe?
No, this was, yeah.
The Great Depression was 15. So this is 50%.
50%.
50%. In Detroit, isn't Detroit the Motown? Is that Motown?
Motown, yeah. Motor City.
Yeah, Motor City and all that, yeah.
I mean, this was the a booming city.
Motown done been mowed over by.
Listen, not only Motown, but I mean, mow delivered. I mean, they sent how many billions of dollars to help rescue the motor industry?
Yeah.
But the whole thing, too, and is that if you think about that, you're looking at this is what unionizing has done to this whole city.
Yeah.
Because they're probably paying benefits that they can't even afford to pay now to all these unionized workers. And then they're filing bankruptcy because of it.
Filing bankruptcy. They lost 1,000 police, and they have a murder rate higher.
On top of that?
Oh, yeah. It just all went down. All as a result. They lost 1,000 police, with the police telling, warning people, don't come enter the city of Detroit at your own risk.
I thought this was good news. I thought you were fixing to share some good
news. Well, this is some good news. This is some good news because, you know, the segment that we did back in July was the city of Detroit files for bankruptcy, rebuild, and come back with God. Wow. And guess what?
What?
They're coming back with God.
Awesome.
They're coming back with God.
What's going on?
It's our prayer. Well, a bunch of church leaders are gathering in Detroit, and they're talking about bringing back, you know, God into the city. The way to economic revival is to bring back God back. And they're talking about how the reason they're in this place, and I wish we had more time to talk about this, the reason they're in this place is because they kicked God out and they allowed radical Islam to take its place. They had a former member of the Muslim Brotherhood come and speak and told them what happened, and they came on into the city. They were took advantage of the disadvantaged folks, and they just basically stole the city away.
We need more time to talk about this because they're headed in the right direction. Sometimes it looks like when you're down and you're on your back and you've lost everything, it's over. But the truth is, what was wrong is over. What is right is about to begin.
Yeah. Former Muslim Brotherhood terrorist and current international speaker Kamil Saleem.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yes, he addressed this group.
He was sent to America to destroy America. He came into the Bible Belt. He came into the Bible Belt. He said, I want to go there where the tough Christians were, they said. And he was going to confront them, and he found God. That's right. He got in a car accident. He found God. Yes. And Christians loved on him. He got saved, powerfully met God. True God through Son Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, all listen, all the ministers in the city are getting together, and they're just saying, listen, we're going to fight for this city. And we're going to bring back God into the city. We're going to do the right thing. And so this is a blueprint, really a blueprint right now of what's coming, how they're coming back, because there's tons of cities like this. And we'll probably share these stats for, you know.
Yes, Monday. Let's come Monday. I want to be, or this next week, I want to talk more about this, because I believe that every city that if we humble ourselves.
Oh, my goodness.
Before God.
There's cities that are
acknowledge our sin. Yeah. They acknowledge what they've done wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the debt, I mean, they're all going to be going down, but it's a result of what?
Right.
You know,
wrong choices.
Wrong choices. And when you kick God out, don't be surprised when he leaves.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We can always repent.
That's right.
And we can always bring the Lord back in.
Well, dear God, we just pray for Detroit right now.
Yes.
We pray for the church in Detroit, our brothers and sisters, Father God. We pray for godly leadership, God. We ask you, Lord, to forgive the sins of those who've sown it in that city, standing in the gap, and Lord, that you would just bring repentance and forgiveness and mercy and divine ideas and concepts, and begin to cause them to be the light, a light, not the light, a light to America that says, you know, we can rebuild on God, just like Detroit. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.